All right. Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. It's good to be able to gather in. We've had a fun week. Trick-or-treating last night was a hoot. We had over 100 kids come through, some of them as old as, I'm 60. Or at least we're sampling the candy to make sure that it wasn't stale, and we had no stale candy. It was all good. And so we did permit the children to have some. It was just a good time, and seeing all the kids come through, and that was just awesome. Also, looking to this week coming up, you may see some activity in front of the church. Tomorrow, we're going to be putting in a new electric line across the front of the church and be installing some new lights that'll shine on the church to kind of fix that up a little bit. We've been having a lot of trouble with them, and hopefully this will get us back on track and everything looking good. So if you see some work going on, you know what's happening there. Also, where's my sheet? Here we go. It's Pastor Appreciation Month. There is a white box underneath the television set in the lobby if you'd like to put in a card or anything like that for the pastor. I hear he's a good guy. The offering boxes are in the lobby as well. One's on the Welcome Center, and one sets over by the lounge, and you can put your tithes, your offerings in there, and we greatly appreciate that. Remember the Wednesday Bible study for the ladies at 9:15 on Wednesday morning. Still looking for some assistance with some babysitting there, so if you're available to help us out, that would be awesome as we continue going into the future. They thought about having me with the children, but as I walked over close to them, most of them were hugging their parents. we're good with babysitters. Woo! Look at it. I announced it and it happened. You know, isn't God great? That's just awesome. Okay, looking down the road, on November the 14th, we're having the Mountain Vision Thanksgiving dinner, full-blown Thanksgiving dinner. It is a fundraiser. It'll be in the fellowship hall. There will be a bucket there or something that you can put your large donations in, or small ones. There's not a price. There's not a set price for that. It's just a donation, and you can go through the line. Would invite you to come up and be part of that. We also need some volunteers. On Friday, we cook turkey, like six. And so if you'd like to help us get that ready, Friday morning, and then we cook them, and then we debone them. And so keep that in mind. If you like to be up to your elbows in turkey, it's a wonderful day. And then on Saturday, we need some volunteers to help kind of prep stuff, whether that's putting the stuffing together and all that fun stuff. If you're able to help on either of those days or to help serve on Sunday, you can see John Wood. Wave, John. Or Ronnie Carter. He was here a little bit ago. Is he in the office? He might be. And so see either one of them and let them know so that, you know, we can coordinate all of that. And so looking forward to that. That's always a great time together. The Mountain Vision Christmas tree in the entranceway, all of the tags have been taken. Yay! Now, we buy the Christmas gifts, bring them back before the end of the month so that we can get those forwarded to Valley Head. Yes, John? There are four of the sheets that were taken where the name wasn't written down on the little podium there. There's a number in the upper right-hand corner of the yellow sheet. If you could check to see, it makes it a lot easier on our end as we check the presents coming in and if we're missing one, who to get in touch with. Because every once in a while someone forgets, and there's a lot of time between now and the end of the month. And so if you can think of that, just check it real quick so that we can make sure we have those if we would need to get in contact with anybody as well. I think I'm good. Awesome. Updates on prayer requests. Continue to remember Roberta Carl. She is home. Slowly processing through. Keep Roberta in your prayers. Dick Hahn is also home from rehab, and he's kind of another one. It's going. It's better. He should be home, but he's got a ways to go. Keep him in your prayers. Bobby Shutt, who is home, he's got pneumonia is starting to subside a little bit, but he's got some blood clots, and so keep him in your prayers. And then we've been asked to pray for Jen Carr, K-A-R-R. She has a partially collapsed lung, and she's got exercises and some things she has to do. If it doesn't reinflate by tomorrow morning, they're going to have to insert a tube, and they really don't want to do that, and she really doesn't want them to do it. So we'll just keep her in prayer today that that reinflates so that she doesn't have to go through that. And then remember our government, those fighting COVID, those who've lost loved ones. Is there any special prayer requests this morning that someone would like to mention that we may have missed?
Best song from Wayndale area passed away, and Billy Hamilton.
And then the last name was Sauer.
Less.
Okay. Keep both of those, Billy Hamilton and Les Sauer, in your prayers as they have passed away. Keep their families in prayer. Yeah, Linda. Okay, and the family of Nancy Hirschberger. The Shreve children that are missing. There are three children from Shreve area that are missing. The last name's Cruz. Okay. Keep that family in your prayers and for the safe return of those children. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for all that you're doing in our midst. We thank you for your love for us on an ongoing basis. We thank you for all that you've done, for your watchful care, for your protection. And Lord, for always being there, that we know we can just reach out to you and call upon your name, and you hear our voice. And Lord, you understand what it's like to walk in our shoes, and you give us hope in the midst of the struggle. And this morning, there's just a bunch of people that are in need of your hope and of your healing power and of your touch. And Lord, we ask you that you would be with them. And we think especially of Roberta. And Lord, for our organist, we just ask that your hand would be upon her, that she would get through the COVID. And Lord, that you would give healing. And Lord, we look forward to her return. Be with Roberta. Be with Dick. And Lord, just be with him as he's recuperating from the surgery. And it just seems to be going very, very slow. So Lord, we just ask you to be with Dick and be with Mary Jane. Be with Bobby Shutt. And Lord, things are going the right direction. But Lord, have him in the hollow of your hand and allow his body to get rid of the blood clots and be able to heal. Lord, for Jen, and we ask that your hand would be upon her and her lung would inflate, and Lord, that she would be able to recuperate from this without having to have surgery. Just be with her. And Lord, be with these missing children. It's so difficult, and it's so mind-boggling to try and even imagine what it would be like to be in their shoes. But Lord, we just ask that you would be with them, to give them a peace, to give them hope. Lord, to infuse them with your love wherever they find themselves. And we ask, Lord, that you would intervene in the midst of their situation and get them the help that they need. Lord, we just ask for you to move and move quickly. Lord, we also ask you to be with those who've lost loved ones. And Lord, there are a number, both currently as well as in our not-so-distant past. And Lord, we just ask that you would be with families and assist them to heal and to grow. And Lord, that you would be with them, that as they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that you would be with them. And Lord, to hold them up and to give them the strength to reorient and to learn how to live life once again in the absence of those that they love. Lord, be with these grieving families and continue to walk with us. And Lord, you've said that if we don't cry out, the rocks will. And Lord, let it be that your praise is on our lips. And Lord, that we lift you high and share you with the world that needs to know you and hear about you and see the difference that you've made in our lives. So come and draw close to us, walk with us, give us your strength, and help us to continue to celebrate. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Am I on? Okay. Pray for me.
Please stand.
Our God is an awesome God.
He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Open our eyes, Lord,
we want to see Jesus.
Open
reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Open our ears, Lord,
we want
to see Jesus.
Touch
him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus.
We're going to sing this one without music because I didn't know I had to get this one ready. So, more precious than silver. You want to go ahead and start, John?
Okay. Here we go.
Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you.
You may be seated.
Yes.
I've done this before once. That's okay. Our scripture for this morning is the last week we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, but Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31 is what I would hope. There we go. Yeah, ask and you shall receive. It's a wonderful thing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. It says, by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. We'll be looking into that as our morning continues. At this time, I'm going to ask if the kids want to come on down, and let's load up the steps. Trustees, we need a larger altar. Okay, here's what we can do. You can sit just right on either side, right there on the little jigger. Okay, we're squeezing in. We're going to make it. Come on, we'll make room. We can make some room. Yeah, there we go. Now, I have a question for you. You all look to me like you're angels this morning. But my question is, have you ever done something that was wrong? Have you ever done something that was bad? I did. I won't tell you what it was because I don't want you to know. But we all do things sometimes that are bad. Now, I don't know how it is in your house, but in my house, if you do something that's bad, you have to say a word that's very, very difficult to say. If you do something bad, you have to say, I'm
sorry.
Oh, I hate that word. My mom and my dad made me say it all the time. And I inflicted the same pain upon my own children. You see, there's something about this word sorry. Do you know what it means to be sorry? Yeah? It means to forgive. Yeah? What else? Go for it. It is a little tough. Okay, you feel bad for an action you did? Same thing? Yeah, okay. You got something?
It means that it's nice to say sorry.
Yeah, it's always nice when somebody tells you they're sorry when they do something wrong, huh? Yeah. When you say, I'm sorry, the dictionary says it means you have a feeling of regret or you want to make things right. You see, when we say we're sorry for something, we kind of, well, what's supposed to happen is that in our hearts we feel bad because we did it and we make a promise, I'm not going to do that again. So when you say I'm sorry, that means we're okay, and I'm not going to do whatever that thing is. You know, like Sometimes we're mean and we say bad words. Sometimes we tell people things that aren't very nice. Sometimes we just forget to feed the dog, the cat, the goldfish, whatever it happens to be. Sometimes we forget to make our bed. Sometimes we intentionally forget to do things. Oh, well, that was just me. Maybe not you. But the thing is, when we say I'm sorry, it means we're going to put forth the effort to not do that again. And we say, I'm sorry. One of the things that we always have to remember is that when we do something that's wrong, we also make God sad. And so we, from time to time, need to tell God that we're sorry for the things that we've done because we don't want God to feel bad either. So let's bow our heads, and we're going to tell God we're sorry this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us a bushel and a peck, and Lord, that you just desire to know us, and Lord, sometimes we do things that aren't good, and Lord, we're sorry for those things. Help us to not do them anymore. Give us your strength and courage, because we love you, and we know that you love us. Be with us this day. Amen. Okay, I think Kara's waiting for you back there behind me.
Said you come now and share all my sorrows. You said you'd be there for all my tomorrows. I came so close now to sending you away. But just like you promised, you came there to stay. I just had to pray, and Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsting. You won't be denied. And I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. Your goodness so great, Lord, I can't understand. And dear Lord, I know now that all this was planned. I know you're here now and always will be. Your love loose my chains, Lord, and in you I'm free. But Jesus, why me? And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsting. You won't be denied. And I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. Jesus, I give you my heart and my soul, for I know now without God I'd never be whole. Savior, you've opened all the right doors, and I thank you and I praise you from earth's humble shores. Take me, I'm yours. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsting, you won't be denied. And I felt every tear drop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died.
Gotta have some notes. You know, we've been talking about Hebrews chapter 11, and it's the Hall of Fame of Faith, and we've been talking about those individuals that are mentioned there one after another as we've kind of walked through the past 7 weeks and 8 weeks. 8 weeks, and today's the ninth week, and Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, it talks about God and a harlot. A harlot. I know what that means. You know, I read a story of a pastor who was a pastor in this little town of Logansport. And in Logansport, they had a train station. The train came through town. It would drop off people at the train station. And if you watched the people get off on the train station, some of them went to the north and some of them went to the south. Now, in the north, that's where all the businesses was, Walmart, Kmart, Target, all the good stuff. That was all up. People's homes, the nice homes, little columns out front. You know, you got the picture. On the other side, those that went to the south, they called that the red light district. Now, that dates myself a little wee bit. The red light district was that section of town where harlots would hang out, prostitutes, ladies of the evening. And the custom in the old days was if you were a lady that would be willing to entertain individuals in your home, you would put a red light in the window to let those passerbyers know that you were available. Now, it's not so much that this happened, and you probably have heard that old adage, you know, which side of the tracks do you live on, the upper side or the lower side? But in Logansport, that's exactly how it was. And those who are on the south side tend to be the poorer economic status, the red light district, things were pretty run down. Those businesses that were there. It was just sad, tough part. But on the north side of town, you see, on the north side of town, they had a reputation, and Logansport was was kind of a reputation for having a lot of churches. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems odd to me that you would have a lot of churches in the north part of town and a lot of red lights in the south part of town, but that's kind of how it was made up, and it makes me wonder which side of the tracks our house of worship would want to be on. I mean, it's easy to be in the nice section of town and in the good side, and it's fun, and you come to church and you want to go to church with people that look like, act like, smell like, whatever you want to call it, like you. I mean, that's kind of how it works, and when we look around the church this morning, that's kind of who we are. Now, I'm not saying that's a horrible thing. Don't get me wrong. We're not throwing our church under the bus this morning. It just says, as human beings, this is how we tend to be. And it's okay. Because let's be honest, if I'm sharing the gospel with the people that I meet, the people that I meet are going to probably look and act like me. And my job is to share with them, and so that's what we do. But there comes a point in time when you have to recognize that this railroad tracks that goes through town that separates the good side of the town from the not so good side of town. What are we going to do about that? Because the reality is there. Now I know, talking about harlots, so we talking about prostitutes, and this story is about God and a prostitute. And we need to understand some things about this story that will give us a little bit of hope as we live our lives of faith. Now, the first thing that I want to talk about this morning is technology. And technology and I do not agree. So if you, there we go. We have to understand and acknowledge Rahab was guilty. She was a prostitute. I mean, if you really want to dig in, and we're going to do that for just a second, there's several Bible references that kind of make that clear. Deuteronomy 23:17, God declared, "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel." Leviticus 19:29 says, "Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness." New Testament, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 16 through 20 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." You know, just to make it clear across the board, Rahab was a prostitute. Being a prostitute is not okay in the sight of God, whether you are the lady who is doing it or the man who is showing up at her door, it just doesn't go. It's wrong. Rahab was guilty. The difference is Rahab, in her situation, in looking at it, said there must be something better. You see, it seems to me that in the world that we live in, that sometimes we don't get to that point of wanting something better. Seems to be that we have worked really hard with so many people to say that the situation that they find themselves in is as good as it gets. I wonder. I mean, and we do this across the board, and if you've been around me much, you've probably heard this little rant, but I'm going to go there anyway, because I think we need to be thinking about some of the things that we've done. Now, it seems to me it makes perfect sense that if we're going to provide housing for somebody who needs housing, and there's a lot of them, that we would build large buildings with many apartments in that for them to live in. And so that's exactly what we did as a country. It made sense. Economically, it's a good thing. If we're going to do this, here you go, here's your houses. So what we did is we created neighborhoods and even school districts. There were all these subsidized housing that was in these great big buildings, and so all the kids seemed to go to the same school together, and how do they learn to get out of that cycle if there's no one there showing them how to be different? You see, in Worcester, we got a good thing going. I love small town America. Now, I don't know that it was necessarily intentional, but I do see good things, and those good things is when we have provided housing. Yes, we have some big buildings, and there's a number of apartments in those. But those folks, along with their neighbors, as well as the folks who are the kids of the college professors, business owners, steel workers, and across the board we go, all go to the same high school. So even though those kids, neighbors on either side, may not be well off or know, what they do have is someone to show them life can be better. And if they put forth the effort, life can be better. Rahab was guilty. She was guilty of sin, and she knew it. She saw coming towards her the nation of Israel. And, you know, they had the grapevine just like we do. And the grapevine basically said, hey, Rahab, those folks that are coming, nobody can stand in their way. They came out of Egypt, that great nation of Egypt. They just laid them to waste. And they never lifted a sword. The whole Egyptian army just drowned in the Red Sea. Other nations have come up and said, hey, this is not okay. And they pretty much run them over. We've talked about Jericho. That was a tough fight. They walked around the outside. And then it fell in. And they overtook the city. And here they are. They're coming and they're getting ready. And Rahab is there. She says, hey, I know your God is something special. So she invites him in. Why? Well, part of it was I truly believe that Rahab knew there was something better. The Israelites had something that they didn't, and she wanted that which was better. Two, prostitutes often had rooms that they would rent out. And these guys would need a place to stay, and so it was to her benefit if they stayed with her. It's kind of twofold. But I think she really recognized and knew she was guilty. But the cool part is, she also understood, or as they talked, she said, look, we need to be saved. I want you, if I help you, and I hide you, and protect you from the rest of my city, here's what I want. I want some way that when you overcome the city, that my family can be safe. And they said, yeah, here you go. Here's what's going to happen. When we come and do that, you hang a red cord out your window. We'll see that. And we won't harm your family, but your family's got to stay in your house. Did you ever think about that? I put my mind and I went, okay, here we have the spies sent out and they're hanging out in Rahab's place. Okay? And they tell her, stay in your apartment. Got it. Stay in your house. Stay in your little place that's built in the wall of Jericho. And they're going to march around the outside of Jericho 7 times, and the walls are going to fall down, and she's in one of those walls. Talk about faith and willingness to go. She wasn't talking to the commander-in-chief of Israel. She was talking to a couple of spies. She wasn't talking to the one that actually would make the decision. She was talking to somebody who was making a decision on the leader's behalf, but still, not the commander. They were able to say, look, you help us, you and your family will be protected. See, it's just... Well, let me just say it this way. Rahab knew that a day of judgment was coming. And she also knew that she needed salvation from that day of judgment, lest she be condemned and be no more. So she went to the people, the individuals that could help her out, and then she stood in faith in the apartment, in the house, in the wall of Jericho, when it started to shake, when it started to do whatever it did, and the walls fell down, and the Israelite army marched through, there was one part of the wall still standing. I don't know about you. You want to talk about faith? Watching all the walls around you shake and fall, and your walls are just shaking. I've never been in an earthquake. I've never been in those situations. The closest I've been is I was in a tree during hunting season, sitting there quietly minding my own business. It's a little windy, but not bad. And I'm enjoying watching the birds, the squirrels, and all of a sudden everything goes dead silent. I'm thinking, wonder what's coming. Right at that moment, fortunately not the tree I was in, but a tree less than 10 feet away just went. If that don't get your heart started. Now, I don't know what it would have been like for Rahab when the nation of Israel circled the seventh time, yelled, and the walls fell down, but it gave my heart quite a start in the middle of the woods when a tree just right down. And I think that she was there and she was standing on the faith. She had an arrangement and she wasn't going to be moved. The only way to save my family is to stay right here. I think in the same way, God comes close and he loves us and he wants to be with us. And he pretty much says, stay with me and you'll be okay. Yeah, but I look at the world around us. I'm not so sure about that, God. He says, just stay right here. You're going to be okay. Now, does that mean that the ground will never vibrate under our feet? Well, it will. Does that mean your tree will always stand straight and tall? No, there's really not a guarantee. Does it mean your car will always start? Your tires will never wear out? I mean, and on we could go. No, it doesn't do that. But what it does say is that God promises that he will be there to be with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And he will stand with us in the world in which we live and give us hope that we have in eternity, that no matter what happens here, forever, I get to be with him. I like that deal. And the more I look at the world in which we live, it seems like the walls are shaking. Sometimes it really seems like evil is beginning to overcome good at every turn. I look at the media and I'm just not sure what to believe anymore and how to find the facts out. And it kind of messes with me. I don't like this at all. But I know this. I keep walking back and I look at the scriptures and the things that are happening there, and it gives me a solid ground to stand upon. We need that solid ground to stand upon that we might share. Now, we talked earlier about the railroad tracks going through Logansport. And sometimes I think, even in the city in which we live, that sometimes the ground is shaking, and sometimes we forget what our job is. And our job is simply to share with those that we meet how much God loves us. But in Logansport, as they did that, the churches all looked like the north side of the tracks instead of the south side of the tracks. We have to find some way in our little community to fuse that together. You know, to invite those that maybe don't look exactly like us, because I look so good in a tie. But you'll notice a dividing factor is coming our way, because right after the service today at 1 o'clock, the Steelers and the Browns will play. And as a pastor who grew up just north of Pittsburgh, the challenge reigns once again. We have a choice. We can come back here next week, smile and elbow, mention, or we can allow it to cause a division. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it'd be pretty silly if we allowed the Steelers and the Browns to cause a division, even if the Steelers don't win. Oh, that was hard. But you know, the truth of the matter is, there's so many other things that begin to make a division in us that are just as important as the Steelers and the Browns. It really doesn't matter what we look like. We need to be willing to reach out, and sometimes that means taking a trip on the other side of the tracks for the purpose of saying, you know what? Jesus is real over here too. To be able, well, I read a story of a man who was trying to reach out and make a difference in, I think it was Chicago, in some of the gang areas. And he got to know one of the leaders of one of the gangs, and I'm not exactly sure how that happened, but it did, probably because he was a pastor and trying to do some good. Just couldn't get any traction, couldn't get anything started. So he asked the gang leader, he said, "How come? How come I can't get any traction?" He goes, "Because you go home at night." He says, "It's pretty simple." He says, "You go home at night, so when the people that are here have problems, who's here?" He said, "I'm here. I'm the one that gets them through the dark times. You come in the morning and you tell us what you would have done. I'm here at night, and that's how we get through it. So they're going to follow me, and they're not going to follow you." We need to find ways to be there. Now, I know in Worcester we don't have north and south side of the tracks, so to speak. There are some more affluent areas, there are some more downtrodden areas, but we're kind of intermixed pretty well. But I do know this, and that is that we're called upon to share across the board. We're called upon to say a day of judgment is coming, but salvation is offered. We know what salvation is. I mean, we've heard it before. You know, we understand that. And let me challenge for you. If you can't explain Christianity and how to become a Christian in 2 minutes or less, come and talk to me, because you're missing it. It's simple. Don't make it complicated. It's simple. We recognize we have faults. We do things that are wrong. We need to say, "I'm sorry." But it's not each other that we need to say, "I'm sorry," to. It's a God that loves us that we need to say, "I'm sorry," to. And His love is so great that He'll give you forgiveness if you say, "I'm sorry." And when you connect with that God, He'll begin to lead you and show you how your life can be, well, in some ways, better and better. Not in the way the world thinks, but in the way that we were created to be. It's an uphill climb and it's not easy. But God makes all the difference. Is that something that you want? Pretty simple. You can do your own version of that. As long as repentance, God offers His salvation, be joined together with Him, we've got it. I get asked in funerals, "But I don't go to church." And I said, "Well, you know what? Neither did Jesus. He hung out in the synagogues from time to time." But the truth of the matter is, the reason we gather together is to grow together. So that we can have individuals that when life, our ground shakes, and the stones beneath our feet begin to quake, we have someone to reach out to and say, "I need help." We've got people coming together so that we can build each other up, so that we can find ways to continue to move forward in the world in which we live. And that support from one another helps us get through those difficult times when the ground shakes, and everything around us seems to be falling. And so we gather together to support one another, to learn and to grow. So that I find something good, oh, I want to share this with you. You find something good, I want to share this with you. I want to share this with you. And it helps build us all up as we grow together. Rahab was there and she acknowledged she needed salvation. And in that salvation, she joined with the Israelite nation. She eventually was married and she was in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Five women mentioned in the lineage of Christ. Rahab was one of them. Are we willing to allow God to change who we are? I know some of us may have some bad stuff in the past. Rahab was a prostitute. That's pretty bad stuff. David was the king of Israel. He was a murderer. I mean, we could go on and on with people in Scripture that grew very, very close to God that did some pretty rotten things. See, God's forgiveness is across the board. Every time Rahab is mentioned in the Bible, it says Rahab the prostitute, Rahab the harlot. I mean, really? I bet that got old. But at the same time, God was saying over and over, it doesn't matter who you were. It's all about who you are. And will you take another step closer to the God that loves you? Rahab did. Her family was saved. Her heritage was changed. When we get to heaven, she's probably going to have fiery red hair. No, I don't know. But I do know this. I do know this. God loves us, and our past isn't important. We offer that up to God. He takes away the sin of the world. And there's nothing that we have done that can separate us. We just give it to Him and accept His forgiveness. So many words just to say, I'm sorry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask corporately that you would be here this day. And Lord, as Rahab in those days of old came to the nation of Israel for salvation, came to you as their God for salvation, and you met her need. We understand that you meet our need and you offer to us salvation if we would be willing to accept it from you. And help us to do that. And help us to understand it to the point that we can share it with those that we meet. Doesn't matter which side of the tracks we're on, the same thing is needed and necessary. Lord, you are our God, and we want to be your people. Help us to follow you. In all these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and join us in closing hymn, As the Deer.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are.
sing. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
As we go from this place, may God's hand continue to be upon us, to guide us, to direct us, to give us hope, and to offer salvation to the world. Amen.